FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Hour number three, you'll hear from Alex Okafor, Drew Brees, and head coach Sean Payton for this morning's conference call. Little Teddy Ginn as well. I love hearing Ted Ginn, huh? Ted Ginn's just so chill. He's like, yeah, man, let's go. Let's play some foosball. Sports Hangover, hour three. We're live at Vinny's. Sarah, we're going to try to get your latest update on your Instagram account. Her and Jordan again battling it out today. Jordan, you've gotten how many Instagram or Twitter followers?
Three.
Sarah?
More than me.
Wow, she has to count.
More than me. We'll just put it at that.
15 on
today?
Instagram. Yep. Seven. Seven on Twitter and 15 on Instagram. The Jordan, the interns.
Three.
If you'd like to.
That's better than me, Jordan.
Well, you know what? Let's help Eric Alexander here. At EA.
Add your boy.
For Eric Alexander, underscore, what did you do? LSU Tiger. Very easy, right?
Very easy.
At EA underscore LSU Tiger. If you'd like to follow Eric Alexander, he's part of the LSU Game Day crew on CST. Of course, won a national championship with the Tigers and a Super Bowl with the New England Patriots. So we can talk college football. We can talk NFL with him as well. If you want to chime in the conversation, it's 800-998-1003. Or you can also, of course, tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. And we'll have all of that on the board here as well. Plenty of fiery phone calls following the loss last night in Brooklyn for the Pels, 126-121. Anthony Davis, Eric, had a career high and franchise record setting, 26 rebounds, 34 points. The Pels still got out-rebounded, though, 43-41. They lose the game. And yes, after the game, Anthony Davis talked about his frustration level, which was this. This is your Pels report, by the way.
We're a better team than our record show. I mean, everyone's frustrated. Players, coaches, front office, we just have to be better. We know what we did last year. We know how good a team we are this year. Just got EP back, and then we have Nico out, but and we can't stay healthy. But we still got to go out there and improve it. We just can't feel sorry for ourselves.
Eric, we've talked, and you know, you've been on the show, and you've listened to us go back and forth with some Pels comments here as well. I think what was unfortunate for me is I heard in that and also watching that game, like, here it is. This is the game. This is the snapshot that's going to give your screaming A's, your talk show host nationally, your Colin Cowherd's. This is it right here. The ammo they need for the, you know, you see, he's doing all he can. 26 rebounds, 34 points, and they lose to the Nets. 55-5 bench outscoring. I don't know what to do. I don't know what even to say, to be honest with you. 4-16 now on the road.
It's frustrating. I mean, he's doing what a superstar should do. Just go out and perform every night like you're supposed to perform. You know, he's doing that. He's been consistent, you know, pretty much on a night-to-night basis now. It's just the other pieces just have to keep on contributing. I think the Pelicans are okay. I think they're okay. They got Elfrid Payton back, and we saw what the starters were able to do scoring. Now we know, you know, we get Nico Mirotic back. If we had Nico Mirotic last night, we would have won a game, right?
My question that I threw out there today on ESPN Radio NOLA on Twitter is, do we need change? Whether it's coach, managerial, you know, trades, change, or do you have to play the patience game? I almost think you have to play the patience game to an extent because there isn't a quick fix, right? You're not going to solve the entire bench right now.
Right.
You can't do it. Okay?
Right.
And again, sort of like people that wonder, and you and I have talked about this too, where is the Saints offense gone? They're hurt up front, the offensive line. When they were healthy and no one was touching Drew, it was 40-50 point games. When he was getting hit and pressured and flustered, ball comes out quicker. You can't have those big downfield plays. Mm-hmm. They're playing the pass. They're saying whatever about the run. They're coming after him. It is what it is. I mean, you know, people want to call Teddy garbage from last. He had two guys starting the offensive line that went on an NFL roster in the week before.
Right.
I mean, the old line's kind of important. So my point is it's health. So when you lose a guy like Peyton for 2 months, essentially,
right.
it's going to affect the chances that you can win or lose. So I almost have to say you have to play somewhat of a patient game. At the same time, though, it's what I've asked you for weeks in relations to football, which you can talk about in a locker room. At some point in time, the onus has to be on the player. I can blame Saban. I can blame Ensminger. It's Miles. Dude, you know you struggle in the first quarter. You know you've been struggling on the road. You got to come out and not get blown out in the first quarter.
Yeah.
You can't give up wide open threes in the corner. Go run at somebody. You know what I'm saying? That's like I'm sitting there on LSU game. They go on the LSU defense has got to stop the run or they got to pressure the quarter, right? Beginning of the season.
Yep.
Where's the pressure?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you and that defense have to go get after it.
Right, right. I mean, we're almost at the halfway point in the season. And we pretty much have been saying the same thing.
Yeah.
We sound like almost like broken records in the regards to we feel like the performance on the field, it hasn't been up to par as far as the hustle goes and grabbing loose rebounds and diving on the floor and things like that. So, I mean, that's a player and that's a pride problem. You know, I don't think coaching can fix that. Yeah. They have to look deep inside themselves and say, hey, we're going to play hard every single play, every time we touch the court.
One of the things as well, you know this because you were with the Patriots and so that media, maybe a little bit different than some of the other teams you went and played, right? And I think AD got a taste of it yesterday. He expressed frustration. We play that soundbite. And then he is Northeastern reporter. Now, mind you, he's in the locker room. His teammate's right next to him. You know, a hoops locker room is not anywhere nearly as big as and a football locker room is cozy, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if I'm asking you a question, the guy to the left and right, you can hear it.
Yep.
Listen to this.
They kicked 14th in the West. What point do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in? I mean, you're
next question.
You played on Team USA, you played on outstanding teams.
Wow.
At what point do you say to yourself, I don't want to play on the team that's 14th on the West?
Wow.
And then the media relations member goes, next question. And then after that, he stays on it. He goes, I mean, you played on some pretty good teams. You played on the Olympics.
Oh, my God.
No, and then you heard next question. But no, but that's the thing. It's that's the taste he's going to get.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you have a bad night. The team's on a losing streak. You playing in Boston? That's what he's getting, you know? I mean, are you trying? Do you think your team wants to win or play? That's what he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just interesting to see that again. Last night was just, it was just one of those, you're like, man, you know it. You know it was coming, sure enough. Second story this morning, I got up, gave a little Carver his bottle and his morning milk now. He wants his own, you know, big cup.
Oh.
No more bottles, you know, I got to give it to him.
He's drinking out of cup now.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Dude grabs 16 ounces like it's cold beer. It's ridiculous. So I'm like, you know, here you are. And then I go sit down and pull up ESPN.com, see what's the morning stories. And there it is. It's the second story. And the headline reads, Anthony Davis frustrated at losing ways. So now the bite and the full quote is, he says, I'm frustrated. The front office is frustrated.
Everybody.
Everyone's frustrated. But the headline is,
Anthony Davis
is frustrated. And then what do you read in the first paragraph? Despite a career high 26, you get what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Already the narrative, and there it is. So anyway, that's what's happening with the Pels. That's your Pels report.
Awesome.
Yeah, exactly. But you agree though, right? I mean, at some point, the onus is on the player, man. I mean, you can't allow it. Look, and I get it. I understand it. We had a caller earlier say it, too. It's like, well, look, you know, it's not the same old Brooklyn Nets. I'm like, that's my point exactly. You're a team that has been saying and is trying to say, hey, we're a second-round team or better. Well, then what does it say in a team that's been the doormat of the Eastern Conference? Think about that. The East, the doormat, that their bench is better than yours. This is Alvin Gentry as to why his bench only got 5 points. You ready for this one? This is a good one. As the bench being outscored.
Well, in defense of them, they didn't play a lot of minutes, but we just felt like you know, the guys that we had in there, we had to leave in if we were going to have an opportunity to win.
So he basically said he had to play his starters against their bench and starters in order to win.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Well,
in other words, he's saying he couldn't put his bench in against the Nets. I mean, you get what I'm getting? I'm not giving business to them, but I'm like, dude.
So why are they on the team if they can't contribute at all?
That has been my point with this, that the coach's job is to try to find a way to utilize the players that you have. And then at the same time, it's an indictment if the general manager is giving you players that you are telling me as a coach we can't use. Because reporter and coach have said, like, why can't Jahlil Okafor play? Right. And he says, well, you know, it's against this team that shoots threes, he can't get up. Then why is he on your roster?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, Tim Frazier, why is he on your roster? Scott Kushner earlier today said, look, they just don't trust Okafor defensively. Then why is he on your roster? You know what I mean? If they can't help you, and I'm in a game at Brooklyn where their bench is lighting it up, and I look up and down the seats, and I go, can't. So either you're handicapping the coach or you're running the wrong. You know what I'm getting at? It's a disaster. It's like literally having a quarterback that have a good arm or is a little slow in his delivery and have okay receivers and I want to run the spread.
Do it. Yeah.
Or I want to be a run heavy, you know, I formation thing, but I got three NFL receivers and I got a mixed match offensive.
No
line.
Fullback.
Hey, well, we're going to run it. You get what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I mean, it's the
personnel doesn't match what you want to do.
So
whose problem is that?
That's my question.
I mean, they had a whole offseason to try to fix that's
the issue. You're now January 3rd. There's no longer the, well, we got time.
No.
It's January 3rd, and you're 14th, as the reporter just reminded Anthony Davis. You're 14th.
A couple of times.
In the Western Conference. I mean, you imagine I come to you in a locker room in Boston, like, so at what point, Eric, do you just say, you know what, I don't need to be on this team?
I wouldn't want to have to answer that. I mean, how can you answer?
Well, he didn't.
I mean, yeah, no. Yeah.
Well, actually, he said I don't, and then that's all he said. And then the media relations person said next question.
Next question.
And then the guy kept going. But I love. But that was my favorite part. It's the very end, he goes, "Well, I mean, you've been on some really good teams. You played in the Olympics."
Yeah.
The guy was incredible. He couldn't believe it. He's like, "Why do you want to be here?"
He came 14th in the West.
What point do you say to yourself, "I don't want to play on a team that's 14th in. I mean, you played on Team USA. You played on outstanding team.
You played on Team USA. You played on outstanding team.
Comparing the all-star team.
I know the guy's comparing Team USA to the Pelicans. Wow. I'm like, dude, Team USA and the Warriors, I don't think would be a good comparison. I mean, it's as close as you're going to get.
Right. I mean,
pretty much when you got like five all-stars on that, but that dude literally just tried to compare Team USA to the Pelicans. When you played on Team USA, hey, buddy, name me some teams in the NBA that have 12 future Hall of Famers or All-Stars.
Yeah.
Good grief. But, like I said, that's the East Coast media, man. That dude tried to compare Team USA with the Pels.
Unbelievable.
It is. All right, take the quick break. We come back. Eric, let's focus on the black and gold here, what Drew Brees had to say. The bye week. Did you have experience on the first week bye week? You won the Super Bowl?
Of course.
Okay.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Well, of course.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way.
You did. I forgot. You're the Patriots. You don't know what it's like to play wild card weekend. No, I get it. I understand.
I've gotten beat wild card weekend. Come on. I know.
No, you're grilling and watching games on wild card weekend. I understand what you were doing up in Boston. We'll get back here. We'll talk a little bit on this as well. What Drew Brees thinks they need to work on. Sean Payton said it's fundamentals. What specifically do you think fundamentally the Saints should work on? We'll touch on that and more. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Alabama, Clemson, the College Football Playoff National Championship. Presented by AT&T. This will mark the third meeting in the five-year history of the playoff between Alabama and Clemson, splitting the first two. They're considered by many as the two best teams in the nation all season long. Coverage begins Monday, January 7th at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
If you approach every game during the season like it's the most important game of the season, then is this game any different? Not for me.
That is quarterback Drew Brees saying there's no added pressure on being the top seed, Eric Alexander, because he's like, this game is like another game. He understands a different level of importance. But it's interesting he says that because he's always been like that. And mm-hmm. he touches on Michael Thomas, on how each rep to him is a Super Bowl rep. So if you've mentioned that before with Brady, and we'll compare and contrast that a little bit. Let's put a wraps on the LSU Bowl game, though, because I did ask you, and I went on a Pels tangent. I apologize. But your overall thoughts on that bowl game, what stood out, and why should LSU fans be excited about the upcoming season?
Well, I mean, when you look at how that game started, you know, we start off with a great, you know, kickoff return by Edwards-Helaire. You know, we end up getting a field goal, that they go down their first drive and they score, and then the pick six happens on that next drive. And LSU really got hit in the mouth, and they got knocked down, and they had to respond. And I just thought it was a great job, a great performance by, you know, Joe Burrow, one, you know, showing his toughness, and just overall, LSU overall, just how they competed and didn't let that affect the outcome of the game, how they started. They had to come back. They had to pick themselves up off right. the mat and continue to play. And, I mean, yeah, LSU was obvious. It was obviously definitely was the more superior team. And I don't want to take anything away from UCF, but but LSU still had to overcome adversity. And just like every game, at some point in the game, one team will have to overcome adversity, and LSU did a great job of that, and I think it's kudos to them, you know, with the good job that LSU has done recruiting, you know, with the 2019 guys that are coming in. I think, you know, we have a lot to be hopeful for, and then with Joe Burrow coming back, we have all those receivers coming back. I think LSU is going to be a team to watch out for in 2019.
You mentioned it there at the very end, the importance of maybe having those young receivers make plays. Mm-hmm. And in certain parts of the game, I mean, you kind of forget, look, the touchdown right after they score to go ahead to put you back ahead. I mean, that's a big play mm-hmm. by a young receiver to do as well. And then you mentioned Burrow. You're a defensive guy. Mm-hmm. To see him get clocked like that, he had a gash, man, under his chin. To see him get clocked like that and then lead a scoring drive right after – I think you could already see the respect level he has right. on the LSU sideline, but that's the type of play that the UCF guys at the end of the game come up to him and be like, dude, I hear you.
Yeah. Yeah, nah,
he got clocked a couple of times in that game, and UCF had some hitters.
He showed a lot of people what LSU has already known, that he has grit and he has toughness, but he showed it all in one play in his overall performance in that game.
Yeah, it's incredible to kind of look at. I remember Scott Shanley at the beginning of the season said he knows his family really well. Mm-hmm. He's like, this guy's just, he's football. His family's football. He eats, breathes, and sleeps football. He's always just been about football. And again, it's something to say that we saw in the Sugar Bowl, you know, the kid from Texas. It's incredible to see baby pictures of him doing the hook 'em horn sign, mm-hmm. and that's all he's ever wanted to do. And
was play football at the University of Texas.
Right, and you get this sense and feeling that with Joe Burrow, he just – from game one to now, I mean, I just think you can't put a tangible thing on the intangible mm-hmm. of the importance of him ready to be next year and wanting to come back in later and being in that situation. Because, dude, next year's schedule, you play Texas.
Yes.
At Texas, you know. So,
that's going to be fun, man.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun.
I love it, man. Looking forward to
look,
it.
Look, I mean, he knows it, and I think everybody else knows it. He's not perfect, and he knows it. He can grow, and his performance and his level of play, it has so much more that it can grow, that I'm just excited, man. I hope that, you know, he does what he needs to do in the offseason and he's coached the right way to make those.
I was going to say, a spring practice with those receivers, mm-hmm. having game experience of doing that as well and having those guys go. Because what stands out to me, if I had to say there's one thing that I like more about that is grit. He has shown the ability to make big third down throws. Mm-hmm. In that bowl game, he made some big 15, 20-yard right. 10 to 15 yard over the middle, dropping it over coverage type throws for first downs.
Right.
You either can do that or you can't.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm getting? I can teach you position, reading, mm-hmm. study on tape. That guy has no fear sometimes in some of the throws. And I thought Brian Griese did a great point, and a lot of times I wish more analysts did this. And I loved when they came back after the LSU touchdown. He showed you it was the same defense and how he learned from one read to the other on the next time
right.
where he didn't go to the top of the of the field there where it was one-on-one. He actually pinned it over to the, you know, the
sideline.
Yeah,
but away from the safety because, you know.
But it was the same. And mm-hmm. I love that. It was
same
so
coverage.
Cool for Greasy to show that. He's like, here it is. It's the same defense mm-hmm. that the pick six happened, but instead he learns from it and he throws a touchdown. That's the kind of stuff that shows me. I'm an NFL scout. I'm going, okay, that's a coachable right. kid, and he right. understands it. And that's not an easy throw.
No.
You got to get it there before that safety gets there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, but it was just so much that went into some of those third down conversions, too, because on a lot of those third down conversions, he had time. The offensive line gave him time for those receivers to come open. You know, sometimes the offensive line didn't give him time, and he got sacked before those receivers to get open. He wasn't able to get rid of the ball. So, you know, it's a combination of different things. You got to have time for those long plays to develop for those big, tall, long receivers to get open, in which they showed that they could get open. But the offensive line had to give them the time first.
Before we get to Saints, final thoughts, Dan, on the bowl? Is that – Or upcoming season?
Hey, I'm looking forward to it. I think a 10-win season in 2018, I think is a huge accomplishment for LSU football, for Coach O, for everything that they did this year. And, you know, just congratulations to the seniors. I mean, those are the ones who buckled down and sacrificed a lot to accomplish what they accomplished. So I'm just happy for everybody, and good if anybody who has aspirations to go on to the next level, good luck, cuz they probably started training today.
Right. You don't have Devin White's number, do you? No, look, here's the thing. I talked to an LSU fan at the gym earlier in the week, and they're like, "You think he comes back a little bit?" I'm like, "Dude, he's going to be like number 5. I mean, one draft board had him 5th taken overall. You can go in the top 10. Come on, dude. You have to have him go. You want him to go.
Well, yeah, I mean,
you know, for him and his family.
Anybody's advice would be to go, but I wouldn't be mad if he's
no,
staying. You know, I wouldn't
say.
Be mad.
Could you do it? If back in your day, let's say, you know, there he is, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper on ESPN when Tuesday night at 10:30 mm-hmm. with Van Pelt go. Eric Alexander, I don't see him falling any further than 5th or 6th.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like winning the lottery. Like, you can't pass up that money, right?
Right.
I mean, you don't know if you're going to win it again. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. So you really can't pass it up. So, no, I mean, I would go. I'm going. I mean, I love you, LSU. Thank you for everything you've done for me. I'm going to make sure I come back and graduate, and I'm going to be a great ambassador to the LSU program, but I'm going to do it in the league.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, again, it's a tremendous thing to be able to get up there that high, too, and you're getting some defensive players to get up there as well as those offensive guys. It'll be interesting to see next year if the offense will kind of lead the way here as well, right?
Well, I mean,
because look, the defense showed some depth in that game. I mean, you lost a lot of guys to either targeting injury or going in the draft, and you know,
look, LSU will have the players on both sides of the ball. It just depends on what they do in the offseason to prepare for next year mentally and physically. They're going to have the guys. It's just what are they going to sacrifice in the offseason to be ready for next year? They're going to have a lot of, you know, forget, you know, yeah, it's a lot of potential. It's a lot of potential of every year is LSU. But what are these guys going to do in the offseason to sacrifice to get ready for next year? And that's the bottom line. That's what it's going to come down to.
We'll put a wrap on the college talk here and then focus on the Saints, the remaining of the show, after we address, of course, and we're going to do a lot more, obviously, on Monday, but we won't speak to you on Monday unless you want to call in on Monday. We can talk a little more on the national championship, but your thoughts on the semifinal games. Let's do that. Let's save the national title talk until Monday, Bama and Clemson. But those two games that put out those two winners, what did you think about it? Because I almost felt, based on social media, everyone's like, aha, you see, this is why you don't expand the playoff. And I'm like, dude, you're Clemson and Alabama have won the last three national championships. I saw a stat. I meant to pull it up. They're like 120-something and 6 or something, you know, the last couple of years together combined, Alabama and Clemson. And people are like, if you want to stop seeing them play for the title, then beat them.
Right.
They're not losing.
Right. I mean, even if you do expand the college playoff, I mean, it still could have came out
exactly
to the same result.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't that's not really an argument for me. What's up? I mean, the Bama OU game, I mean, Tua just, he's unbelievable, huh? I mean, to come back after hurting your ankle and having surgery.
He had it scoped.
Yeah.
You ever had a scope?
I have not. I've never had a scope. And I know that's something that you can
right.
Essentially come back in. But still, I mean, he's such a good player.
I think what's interesting, what I took away out of that game, the one thing I took out of that game was I saw a team that I thought, like we talked about, came out to prove something. I figured and felt that defense was like, oh, that's the Heisman Trophy winner?
Mm-hmm.
No problem. And I mean, you're human. There's no way Tua didn't step on that field not looking to prove on that. What was he, 24 or 27 at one point or something of that nature?
Yeah.
It, with four touchdowns. I mean, but it's
great
to you and I, and every Saturday you do LSU Game Day Live and you talk about Bama, you're not surprised the guy didn't play in the second half on many of those games against SEC teams. So,
but Kyler Murray's performance as well on the flip side, that dude's fast, man. I hope that's not his last football game.
So you'd rather see him do that and not go play baseball?
Well,
you talk about winning the lottery.
Want to watch baseball.
I know. But there's two things, Eric, that I absolutely, if for some reason my son gets that option, because he's not going
to
get that
talent. Go to the batting cages.
No, that's one of those things where you go, there is a God, because he did not get that DNA for me. Guaranteed contracts in MLB.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Yeah,
that's just me
being selfish.
A lot less impact. You can still get injured, but
just
I mean,
selfish.
No, I hear you, but
he's so fast and
he's good.
Good. So yeah, I want to see him play football, but I totally understand. Hey, if you got a chance to go make millions of dollars playing baseball, go do it.
Yeah, almost twice, if not three times as much, if he can get that second.
But he was so good though, so fast. Oh my God,
he's incredible. By the way, you remember A&M had him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Any of the SEC bowl games stand out to you?
A&M's
performance? Kentucky over Penn State?
I mean, Kentucky they're trending. I just wonder if Kentucky can continue that over a course of a few years.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? I just don't see them getting the recruits that they need to be able to continue success. Now, Florida over Michigan, I mean, that was a statement game, I think, for Florida, because
Dan Mullen's a good coach, man.
Yeah, yeah, and he had obviously got his guys ready to play and they played well, man. They played real well. That was surprise. I mean, it didn't surprise me that they won, just the fashion that they won.
I don't remember what the final score was, but I think they blew them out pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was a pretty convincing win, yeah. Offensively and defensively. Mm-hmm. You really saw the speed. I think that was one of the things that stood out to me. All these SEC haters and everything. And believe me, I'm not the SEC is yeah. be all and end all, because you know me. I'm like, I'd love every conference to have an opportunity to do that. But reality is reality. You can just see it, you know. And yeah. For everyone that says, well, it's just Bama, it's just top heavy. Dude, you can just see. I mean, yeah. it's a different level on it. And I almost felt that way seeing Notre Dame and Clemson. I mean, mm-hmm. Notre Dame went undefeated and
pretty much
they
got
didn't belong. You know, yeah, they didn't belong. I mean, the safeties couldn't cover the receivers.
Yeah, every facet
I mean,
the of the corner, game.
Yeah, it's just, I don't mean it to sound disrespectful, but they didn't belong on the same field with that Clemson talent, man. It's just, they didn't. I think it'll be an interesting game. Monday, I'll be interesting. Do some homework for me. Monday. Give me some matchups and why you think Clemson can beat Alabama. Because Alabama's going to be favorite, obviously.
Yeah.
And why can the Tigers beat them?
I'm going to tell you right now. Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to tell you right now.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, that kid can sling it, man.
Deshaun Watson.
The new buzzword now. Yeah. Spin it. Mm-hmm. Kid can spin it. I like him. I don't know if they win the game.
By the way, what class
like
is he?
He's freshman, huh?
Yeah.
Freshman. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. Pretty incredible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it must be nice, huh? Freshman year, take your team to the national championship. I'm not bitter. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about the black and gold because Marcus Davenport, Alex Okafor, those guys I think may have to have an impact in this postseason run for the Saints if they want to get to where they should be, according to Saints fans. That's Atlanta to play for a Super Bowl championship plus Drew Brees. All of that and next. Don't go anywhere as Eric Alexander is going to dive into the grilled chicken Caesar salad here at Vinny's, 3217 Ridge Lake Drive in Metairie. Come on by, enjoy healthy food. I mean, I think the chicken wings is healthy because it makes you feel good, right?
Protein.
Yeah, homemade protein. Meatballs with a blanket of mozzarella. That's healthy to me, too. It is healthy. The wraps, they're massive. You'll probably take half of it home. Give it a try. We'll be here on Thursdays, and we'll be here for another 30 minutes or so on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Same old place, a sweet
home, Chicago. Alabama, Clemson. The College Football Playoff National Championship, presented by AT&T. Coverage begins Monday, January 7th at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring. Courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
To love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
The Army National Guard is committed to keeping the country safe and our community secure. Composed of hundreds of thousands of citizen soldiers from all walks of life, the Guard is always ready to respond to local or national emergencies. We protect the homeland. We're always there when called upon, and in every state and territory, we stand guard for our communities. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Army National Guard. Aired by the Louisiana Association of Broadcasters and this station.
When's the last time you checked your credit score? Those three-digit scores can have a huge impact on your financial life. Credit Karma can help you with free scores, free reports, and free monitoring. Credit Karma also gives you the tips, tools, and advice you need to understand your credit and how to improve it. You can even spot potential errors on your credit report. That can mean better interest rates on loans and credit cards, which can save you thousands of dollars in the long run. Signing up is completely free. No credit card needed. Visit CreditKarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
There it is. That's what I tweeted, Jordan. The intern, along with the picture of what?
On the jump, Anthony Davis at breaking
that
point,
is
question mark.
The breaking point, Eric Alexander. See, I told you, that last night was the game that was, I mean, it is the snapshot. It is the, you know, there it is. I mean, that's it.
He's done.
I just figured that's the game to fuel all the ammo right there. There it is. What's his breaking point, right? I mean, there it is. Of course, it had to happen in New York.
You wanted him to voice.
By the way, this is now going on 5 minutes.
Well, I know.
Chauncey Billups, we'd love to have him as GM. Would you, Chauncey Billups? Oh, we got that earlier.
You wanted him to voice his frustration, and
I did.
He voiced his frustration. Now everybody, he's at
what?
His breaking point.
Hey, I said at least it showed me that. Go ahead, and he said it. Well, I'm frustrated. There was a comma after that, and he said everybody's frustrated, but that's not being put on the television.
Yeah.
It's just a picture of AD looking frustrated.
Well, we're going to get this for a while, rest of the season.
By
so
the way, the segment is still going.
still going.
We'll let you know when the Anthony Davis at his breaking point segment ends, which is now a good 5-6 minutes in, right? I mean, it started right before the break. It's gone through the break. And, Joey, how long was the break? About 3 minutes?
And we're still going strong.
And they're definitely in discussion here. Chauncey looks concerned. Anyway. Oh, now he's patting the GM on the back. Yeah, I mean, yeah, this is like, I you know what that was? That was, look, it's just inevitable. You have to go make a deal now.
Yep. What can we
wait, get? Wait. Could we be going to break?
Yes.
There we go. There we go. So about 7 to 8 minutes on Anthony Davis's breaking point is how long that took. Yesterday, I want to ask you this as a player, because in the NFL, that's why I was bringing it, because you said Tyler Murray, and I said, you know, in baseball, you get a guaranteed deal. In the NBA, you get a guaranteed deal. In the NFL, it's been real, right?
Mm-hmm.
How cool was it that the Saints put in and bought the option for Alex Okafor, who was one sack away from not chump change, dude, not $4,000, not $40,000, add another zero, $400,000. And they said, you know what? Here you go. And they gave it to him. They bought the incentive and gave him the $400,000.
That's pretty cool. You don't see that happen every day. Most of the time it's like, hey, it's a fourth quarter. Come on, off, Alex. Let's get a sub in there. He just didn't get it this year, bud.
You're absolutely right.
Well, we won't get that incentive this year. I'm sorry.
You don't think there's some teams that don't want to pull that incentive out so they don't have to pay you?
Yeah, of course, yeah. That's the truth. I mean, you know, it's an NFL team. It's a business. They're about making money, not giving it out, not giving it away for free.
A message like that says what to that locker room?
It says that ownership's behind you and they're willing to work with you. You know, I mean, you can't help but to, do whatever they ask you to do, you know, and be a good Saints role model out in the community and just, you know, go out and play hard every week.
Yesterday in the open locker room, Okafor had this to say.
I mean, ever since I got signed here last year, the Saints have always done right by me, and they've gone above and beyond to, you know, make me feel included and to treat me the right way. And I'm just grateful. It's a blessing, and I just got to make sure I do my part and give them all I got.
Gus, I mean, going off y'all's point, what does that say to the Pelicans team? What does it say to the players in the locker room saying, oh, look at what kind of money they put behind the Saints, but when it comes to us, what have they shown to be loyal towards this team and this organization?
Well, it's not like I can't remember, even though I know Rondo kind of alluded to that a tidbit. I think it's different situations, though, because one's more cash-strapped and doesn't have the money. Because remember, in the NBA, everybody thinks they're a max player. Okay? So you're a little different from that aspect of it. Plus, remember, the Saints for a while did have salary cap hell and had to make tough decisions and couldn't sign everybody and had to make, you know, had to play that game. I mean, Lance Moore for a number of years, you know, and a couple of other, Roman Harper Jenkins, they played the 1 year deal tenders and all that stuff and didn't give them long term deals because they were I think the Saints are in a different place right now, right? And now give it a couple of years when these draft classes, the last two, have to come up for their deals.
Yeah.
When Thomas
and Kamara,
right. Lattimore, Williams. We'll throw in Davenport in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's you got to say, you know, Jordan, do you re-sign him to another big Rankins, part of that draft class? So you may not be able to do it back in the day. That will be one of those Eric Alexander moves. Like, yeah, you know what? It's second quarter. We've seen enough. But, Coach, we got three games left. Nah, that knee. Man, that knee looks swollen, huh? Yeah, there's nothing wrong with my knee, Coach. No. That looks swollen. That looks like an MCL, doesn't it? That's an MCL.
No, I'm good to go, Coach.
No, that MCL's 3 weeks. It's a good 3 weeks. But, Coach, that's the end of the season. Well, you know, we'll see you for the playoffs.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's good to see guys. I mean, obviously you want guys to perform well and hit their incentives. But, I mean, if a team just, you know, says you're that close, so we're going to go ahead and give you that incentive, you know, just because. I mean, that's awesome.
Okafor also did say, though, he has a little hyperextension with the knee there, hopes to play next week.
I mean, the knee injury isn't too serious. The plan right now is to get me out there slowly and partially next week and hope that I'll be ready to go for the game. But, yeah, I'm just excited about this opportunity, just like all of us are. And, I mean, we have a chance to do something special, and I just want to be a part of that.
As somebody that's won the Super Bowl and has gone through that season and been in playoffs plenty of times, am I right in saying no one's really 100% healthy at this point? It's just maybe managing your body as much? I mean, what was your body like this week, bye week, since, you know, you and the rest of the Patriots got to watch most of the time?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's beat up. But, I mean, that's just across the board. Every team has had their injuries. They've gone through 16 games and plus the preseason, plus, you know, off-season workouts. So, yeah, at this point in the season, everybody's hurting a little bit. So, you know, if you're fortunate enough to get a bye, you're able to rest up a little bit and have some extra game planning time, some extra time in the cold tubs and with the athletic trainers to get your body right, because you know it's the winner go loser go home game, so they're important.
I only took treatment of injuries for a semester at the great University of Southern Mississippi, but hyperextension of the knee basically just got bent back a little bit, so. It's just a little soreness and things of that nature. Obviously, MCL, stuff like that, straining of those knee ligaments. But hyperextension, that's why he feels he can be back. That's just basically staying off of it. Icing compression, putting a brace, and you'll be ready.
Rest and just being smart about how you approach practice every day. That's all.
Marcus Davenport, we talk about rookies hitting a wall. I know Meacham's talked a lot about, like, Tre'Quan Smith, which, by the way, Sean Payton touched on. We'll play next segment all of Sean's from this morning, in which he touched on, hey, the inconsistency, and again, that rookie wall that you sort of hit there as well. But with Davenport, he had that injury, which he missed a couple of games. And for him, he makes it real simple as to what he's trying to do right now and key areas he's trying to emphasize like this.
I guess the biggest point has been the better you practice, the better you play. So that's really where we're at, you know, just getting back to the basics, fundamentals, and, you know, working on it.
And for him, what does that mean?
Consistency on my pad level and then driving the blockers, just little things.
What does that mean when he says that?
Well, I mean, Davenport's a tall guy. So I'm pretty sure he's heard all his life, get lower your pad level,
Because he's so big, if he can get under you, he's going to be able to push
right.
up.
Right. I mean, football, especially for those guys that are on the line, it's all about leverage. And if you can use that leverage and be lower than the person you're going against, you usually can win that battle, or at least you give yourself a better chance. So I'm pretty sure he's been, you know, he's been preached that his whole entire career. So I know that's why he probably talked about it, but I mean, you know, he was totally correct in saying get back to the basics, and how you practice is pretty much a big determinant on how you play on Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny you said it. A lot of players said that yesterday in the locker room. It's just getting back to fundamentals and doing those things. I guess fans or media hear that and go, well, of course you did all the time, but I know from going to practice and watching, you know, from playing, you don't have a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And if you're game planning, you're working on things and plays to be able to do that. Is that, since, again, you were with the Patriots and had a bye week, mm-hmm. how helpful is it to just have yesterday and today, 2 days is what they're practicing this week, mm-hmm. to just, hey, go over third down defense, just assignment, just things that you remember but you didn't do since August?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you got to,
because that's what you do in August, right?
So you look at the playoffs like a brand new season. You get a whole new start. So I think you want to approach these two or three practices like you're kind of starting over, kind of starting anew, kind of starting fresh. So you kind of basically go back and catch kind of break the practices up into little things that you want to improve on going into that next playoff game. Lakey, you have an extra week to be able to do that, to look at the little things that might can get you over the hump to make you more successful in that playoff game. So this is a blessing that they're able to just kind of sit back and not necessarily have to game plan on their next opponent, but just work on one little thing or a couple little things that's going to help them when it's time to game plan next week for whoever they play.
I think Eric knows what he's talking about. Tell me if he didn't sound exactly like Drew Brees yesterday.
It's good. You know, just because you're so focused week to week during the season that you really don't have time to go back and self-evaluate too much. You know, you're just, and it's on to the next opponent. You start grinding on that film and putting together a game plan, and this gives you a chance to really take a step back, take a good hard look at yourself and say, wow, you know, I thought that was much better than it is. Obviously, we need to make some improvements, and then maybe there's some other stuff where, wow, this has been pretty good for us. Let's continue to build on that.
And specifically for Drew in the offense?
Just some of the finer details, the timing, the rhythm, just keeping that as we move into next week and really start game planning specifically for an opponent.
Pace is the one thing that I think really gets the Saints offense going, right? In and out of the huddle, ball in and out of the hands of Drew Brees into the hands of the receiver. And it's interesting to actually hear him say those things, Eric. So it's something obviously you're familiar with. Eric Alexander, Gus Kattengill with you. Final segment from Vinny's here, 3217 Ridgely Drive in Metairie coming up next. And, wow, now they're talking about something else. Good to know. The Jump no longer is talking about the breaking point for Anthony Davis. Sports Hangover puts a wraps on things next on ESPN New Orleans.
As a leader in sanitation for the oil and gas industry, Joe Septic Contractors caters to all field clients offering vacuum truck service for the offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Joe Septic Contractors offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit our website at www.joeseptic.com.
Alabama, Clemson, the College Football Playoff National Championship, presented by AT&T. This will mark the third meeting in the five-year history of the playoff between Alabama and Clemson, splitting the first two. They're considered by many as the two best teams in the nation all season long. Coverage begins Monday, January 7th at 6:30 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Metairie favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose, Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. You're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Got a hot take?
I've got something to say.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003 or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA.
I'm a communicator.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Welcome back. Final segment. Eric Alexander, a big fan of my shirt right now. This is what it'd be like if I went Schmiedian.
Yeah, rolled up his sleeves, man, showing me the guns.
Well, this is what happens when you go on TV. You just strategically, you grab the very tops of your shoulder and just hike them up a bit. Our good old friend Gordy Rush does this. He just, right before the show, right before we go on camera, just like that.
And then, spend a little bit more time in there.
Then you strategically just, you know, you got to position your arms like this, and then it kind of looks semi-flexed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got
I've never done that, I promise.
Sure.
No, never done that. I wear long sleeve shirts and a coat when I want. See, you guys get to wear the polos because they're outside. Oh, yeah. I've advocated for the polos. Exactly. And they're like, no, if it's a studio, you need a coat and long sleeve shirt.
I think it looks better, though. I understand the reasoning behind it. It looks a little bit better.
But you look fine in a long sleeve shirt and coat. I look bulky. I look like the Michelin man. When you're 5'7", I mean, it's,
and you're trying to order the wings, so that's what I'm trying to tell you.
But that's what
you're trying to order the wings.
Unless I go Jesse Palmer and get it tailored in where I can't breathe, you're not going to be able to tell I work out in a coat and long sleeve shirt. Now, in the polo, you know, I mean, you know.
2019, we'll get you right, man. We'll get you right.
I just want to be outside. Actually, no. Now, for most of the months, it's a little hot out there. You guys have that white tent that kind
of. Oh, I'm usually sweating. Yeah, I'm just sweating my tail off outside.
All right. Head coach Sean Payton on what this week can sort of be and what they've been able to do. One of the things that I thought that was interesting, what we were talking about, with hitting the rookie wall with Tre'Quan Smith and how he thought that, you know, it would be nice to have him kind of get going. And you hear him talk about, because Keith Kirkwood's really had some opportunities. He had some big catches, right? What was it? Carolina had a big catch on third down when Breeze got popped and he made, especially if your guy is going to stand in the pocket, right? I mean, it would be like Brady. He's going to stand in that pocket. You better catch that ball. He's going to take that hit.
Because drops are not an option.
Because Breeze.
Unless you want the ball again.
Yeah.
If you ever want the ball again, you better catch it.
I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Breeze took a shot.
Oh, yeah.
And he hung in there because he had to deliver it. He had to wait. So Keith made the catch, though. Sean Payton on Kirkwood and the need for he and Tre'Quan Smith, though, to be ready. Because, obviously, they're going to game plan for Michael Thomas and Teddy Ginn.
He's got strong hands in traffic. I think he's real smart. He's got a good catch radius. And I think those are some things that stand out. He can block. I think. For a young player, he's got real good awareness. And we're talking about Kirkwood. Tre'Quan's got some of those same traits. Now, I feel like his production's dropped a little bit, and it's going to be important we get him going.
I want to say I talked to you about this last week, and I said what I would have liked to have seen, and he did. He had some catches in the Panthers game, sort of like we always talk about getting quarterbacks going, right? Mm-hmm. Or running backs going, giving them some runs early. I feel you could do the same exact thing with the receiver. Quick outs, a quick slant, an out, you know, a deep post. Something that he can get his hands in. Robert Meacham said, give him an end around. Just get the ball in his hands, you know, where he doesn't even have to worry about catching it or beating a defense. Just something to kind of get going. Did you feel like that on the defensive end? You need to get a hit. You need to get just some sort of play to kind of get into the flow of the game.
Yeah, I mean, that. You know, you always just – you know, anticipating that first contact just to get your pads warmed up and get you ready to, you know, play hard. And yeah, but that I think that's good just to get your body in rhythm, but you also have to be smart, and you also have whatever you call for that particular play has to be dictated on what the defense gives you too. So what if they don't give you an out? What if they don't give you a slam? You know what I mean? So what if, you know, what if they're playing man to man and an end around wouldn't really be that effective? So, I mean, you just can't, you know, just say, hey, we want to run this play just to get you involved. The play has to be there. That's what I'm trying to say. Like, it has to be work.
It's interesting. He says that because, and you're coming on Monday to talk the national championship game. I want to talk to you as well about something that Sean Payton touched on today about not necessarily forcing the ball to Michael Thomas, but Drew Brees kind of touches on and says, hey, look, hey, if he's there, I know he's my safety blanket. He's that guy I can go to. And, you know, if we got two, it better be really two good DBs because I'm still going to trust my guy. Mm-hmm. So to your point, I get it. There's some times you can do it, and there's some other times where you have to be smart with it. Tomorrow's show's going to be fun at Deuce McAllister's Old State Kitchen and Tap. Jordan, who we got?
Yeah, we got a couple of NFC people for the teams. Ben Baldwin talks about Seattle Seahawks. We have Daniel Galen.
There we go.
Who covers the Eagles, and we have Nancy Lieberman, who covers the Pelicans.
Yes, from Fox Sports, who was on fire last night. We'll talk to her tomorrow about what to do with this Pels team. Eric, thank you for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, as always.
Yep, at EA underscore LSU Tiger. Give him a follow on Twitter. Thank you, Joey. Thank you for tuning in. Matt Moscona next on ESPN New Orleans.